I spent my whole life running around the Midwest feeling ashamed of who I was. And little did I know that the whole time that I was feeling voiceless, I had a voice. And I think it's important to recognize that on this path, whether you're an entrepreneur, a student, a speaker, an author, the quest of what you're looking for lies within you.
My name is Neil Kulkarni, and you're listening to Excel Podcasts, the perfect career exploration podcast for any student out there. Do you ever have a feeling that your voice isn't amplified enough? If you're listening to today's episode of Excel Podcasts, the conversation you're about to hear with the founder and CEO of The Conversationalist, Sophie Barron, is absolutely life-changing and is sure to provide you with some help to find and amplify your voice. Sure, entrepreneurship involves the financial side, from handling sales to pitching to investors, but you just cannot forget the other side, filled with storytelling and a chance to create a meaningful platform in the world today. So before you start your own company, ask yourself, am I really making a difference with this platform, product, or whatever service it is you have designed? Whether you've figured out the next revolutionary innovation you want to pursue as an entrepreneur, it's never too late to learn from some of the world's best entrepreneurs. And Sophie Barron is one of them. She is the CEO of The Conversationalist, a multimedia platform and community designed to empower young people everywhere to have conversations that matter. I had an absolute blast with her, learning so much from her journey to entrepreneurial advice on how we can better create and provide value to an audience. But before we dive right into this amazing conversation, here's a quick word from our partner for today's episode, Time for Nine Toolkit.
Hi, my name is Hamel Haley, and I'm the campaign lead of the Time for Nine Toolkit, a grassroots public health campaign. We are a youth-led organization that aims to aid minority and socioeconomically disadvantaged communities who have been disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. We seek to accomplish this by advocating for the implementation of the Time for Nine Toolkit. The toolkit is a policy written by the public health policy team at the Greater Good Initiative, which addresses these disparities in COVID through nine key recommendations regarding testing equity, communications and partnerships, and resource allocation. In today's political climate, it is imperative that youth voices are included in the policymaking process, especially when it comes to matters of public health and public health equity. At the Time for Nine Toolkit, we seek to be included in public health legislation that has the potential to positively change minority and socioeconomically disadvantaged communities throughout the country.
Now let's jump right into episode 3 of the Entrepreneurship Series, a story that dives deep into strengthening your character as an entrepreneur, and more importantly, an individual. Now, Sophie, thank you again so much for coming on Excel Podcast to talk with me. I mean, you've taken such a big step to create a multimedia platform in hopes to amplify voices in Gen Z. That is definitely not easy. I'm just curious to know, was there any specific inspiration behind your action to do this? Or was it really just a culmination of your experiences, curiosity that sparked your creation of this platform and your drive for entrepreneurship?
Hey, Neil, thank you so much for having me on Excel Podcasts. I'm so excited to be here. I definitely think the reason I got started was a culmination of a lot of things. I grew up in Kansas in the Midwest, and my whole life growing up, I felt like I didn't have a voice. I was always the odd one out and quickly realized that I was different than a lot of my peers. I was the only Jewish kid in my whole community. And that quickly led me to feeling ashamed of who I was. Everyone labeled me as the Jewish kid. There was a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding. And I just wanted to make a difference in the world, but didn't feel like I had the agency to do so. So this experience growing up really led me on this path to eventually leave the Midwest bubble and go to the University of Pennsylvania for college. And while I was there, also just had a bigger realization that, you know, it's not just an issue of feeling like I didn't have a voice, but everyone around me on campus was only hanging out with people who were like them. So it was like the reverse of what I had in Wichita. And this made me realize, you know, what is the point of life and also college, if you can't connect with people who are different than you and challenge your thought process and your beliefs. And I think this allowed me to really understand what an echo chamber was. And so this journey of growing up in Kansas, following the yellow brick road to the East Coast, realizing that there was this issue bigger than myself of the echo chamber and how we really exist in groups who are like us, a culmination of these factors and eventually the 2016 election too, just led me to create the Conversationalist and try to really form a platform where young people everywhere can feel heard. So no other young person has to feel what I felt growing up in Wichita, and that we could actually have a place to go to make sense of the world around us. There is so much happening right now. With other young people who get it and are going through it just the same.
I absolutely love your background. I think how you started small, you took your community perspective, how you just wanted to make a change, help others with confidence, public speaking, and really just showcase their voice. And I mean, I think definitely seeing how you've transitioned from being in Kansas to now making this an almost a national platform. I mean, you've had so many milestones, so many voices on the platform, and with those events you're dealing with, such as obviously the elections, and really just trying to bring on different pieces of content and different people on the platform. I'm just curious to know, what are you most proud of? Because I think a lot of students who look up to you, I'm sure they're curious to know more about what is like that number one accomplishment you're most proud of, because it just helps them to have that sense of motivation and inspiration to continue to push through and continue to achieve their goals regardless of whatever comes their way, even though we're in this pandemic.
Neil, thank you so much for saying that. I'm someone who is really bad at taking a step back and celebrating even the smallest of wins. I think I'm very critical of myself. But when I think back on this journey, and I mean the Conversationalist is so new, we're less than 2 years old. I think what I'm most proud of is the community that we've built. If you have seen the conversations on our app, we're on the Geneva platform. It's really become a destination where people talk 24/7 about anything under the sun that matters to them. And I think what I'm most proud of is even right now when I'm here talking with you, there are people talking on the app. You know, at any time of day, we've built this community where it's not about me, it's not about my team, it's really about them. And creating that forum for them to connect with each other, become friends. And I think that's what I'm most proud of. It's almost like I tried to build the infrastructure of this house, and now everyone's come in and we've hosted this big house party that's been lasting for the last 6 to 8 months. And it's just so awesome that even when I'm away and I'm, you know, running errands or I'm not in the house, people are still carrying it forward and representing the mission and the brand and are building it for themselves. So just super grateful to be on this journey. And I'm just proud of the young people that are in our world that are actually doing so much good work. And we're just so lucky that we get to amplify them.
Yeah, I absolutely love like just the idea of having real conversations. I love personally just hearing new perspectives and hearing new ideas. But also a quick side note, how did you just get the ball rolling with all those conversations? I know for some people they can be a little shy and be a little nervous on interacting with new people. So is there any like just number one tip you'd give?
Love this question. And Neil, it took me so long to get to this place where I feel comfortable having the conversations. And at the same time, there are so many moments where I do feel uncomfortable, but I think the essence of that is our platform, right? We want you to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And whether it means just listening first, I think there's a misconception out there that conversations always have to be a back and forth. But I believe that the best conversations are the ones in which we listen first. And we're there to listen more than we speak to really garner understanding and empathy for other people's experiences. And so if someone doesn't know where to start or hasn't even discovered their voice yet, just be a sponge. You know, go out there, listen, learn, do research, and just participate in conversations from a listening standpoint. I think you'll be so pleasantly surprised about how much you'll learn. And then adopting other people's mannerisms and styles will help you hop in here or there. But don't be afraid to just start as a sponge. I'm still a sponge in everything I do today, and that's kind of grounded me, kept me humble, and has helped me really discover my voice.
Completely agree. I think it's important that students just learn today to take action, grasp all the knowledge they can, and the worst that can happen is they'll have a little stumble, but that'll just help them grow. And I think just seeing how active students are in these conversations, really any individuals, I think it gets them curious to know how they can get involved. I think a lot of what you do deals with multimedia, content creation, obviously conversations. It's really a culmination of different topics under one big umbrella, which is the conversationalist. So I'm really curious to know how you would recommend students today just receive opportunities in your space of work so they can at least get their feet wet when they're young and they can just understand the fundamentals. I think if there's any opportunities you have in mind that you'd recommend, I think it just helps students to get that experience and just start their learning on the right track.
Yes, and there are so many resources that I wish I had had when I was just starting out. And I think the essence of this question is community. Mm-hmm. If I was starting all over again, I would give advice to myself of joining as many communities as I could that resembled the person I wanted to become and also the places I wanted to go. So, of course, shameless plug, if anyone wants to join the conversationalist, there we have a room and a channel for opportunities and self-promotion. So you can see countless things that our Gen Zers are doing on a day-to-day basis and get involved there and start with someone else's line of work and get your feet wet and just dive right in. I'm also such a believer that, you know, you should not be waiting for anyone else's permission to say go and just do it. This is really our philosophy with conversations, but also entrepreneurship in general. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that could happen is that you fail. And if you fail, you're going to get right back up on your feet and iterate and start over again. And so whether it's having a hard conversation or starting a project or getting involved with something, just dive off the deep end. You know, I think we mm-hmm. spend so much time thinking about the change we want to make, but we don't spend enough time out there trialing and erroring it.
So it is really fine to reach out on social media to that inspirational role model you have in mind to just have a good conversation and understand their mindset and thought process that goes into their work.
Yes. I mean, I'm the biggest proponent of the cold email or the cold DM. I think that really goes back to what we were just saying about going for it, right?
Yeah.
Like, operate as if there is no ceiling. And just start conversations, reach out to that mentor or that celebrity or that high profile person that you want to learn from and go for it. And I think in that process, don't be afraid to stand out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to get in touch with someone that, you know, might not look at your email the first time around, do something that will shock them. Record a video, send them something in the mail, do some research, do some homework about something that really resonates with them and their story. And that'll open up the other person to wanting to get to know you. So I think in addition to just going for it, don't be afraid to stand out.
Yeah, you brought up a really great point about just standing out and being unique. I think while there are a lot of individuals who are trying to do the same thing as you, it's important to find something different that helps you stand out and helps get your message across. I think that kind of leads into a lot more with conversations and networking in general. I think having that presence in a field, it can be so important to attain that career or simply attain that experience. So eventually you can get your feet wet and just understand what goes on in this particular career field. So I'm very interested to know more about your strategies and process that go into just simply networking, whether it be with individuals for a conversation or organizations or partners, since this is something that goes into a lot with entrepreneurship. And how can you just branch out your network and how can you continue to reach new audiences and reach new markets?
Yes, networking is so important, but I want to reframe it as relationship building. I think everything we do in this life should be around building relationships. My wise mentor, Rich Keller, once told me, "You are only as good as the people who know you." And I think that rings true in any and every situation. So when we talk about relationship building, I think the most important piece is to go into new relationships in a value-based approach. Think about how you can help add value to that person and always be in that give first mentality. People want to be around people who want to lift them up and help them succeed. And down the road, If you have something that you need help with, or you want to take a little bit, or you want to have an ask, just don't rush it. I think we oftentimes reach out to people with an assumption or an ask right away, but relationships take time. And I think we're so rushing to the point with our generation being so focused on instant gratification that it's important to take a step back and realize that you just want to connect with that person on a fundamental human level, see how you can add value to them. And then, you might be pleasantly surprised. Maybe they'll offer that right back to you, but go in with that mentality. And we already talked about the cold email, the cold DM, but I think the other piece here that I'd love to share, again, Rich Keller, who I just mentioned, really taught me this. He is a brilliant personal branding expert. And his whole philosophy that he's helped me with is that people buy people. And we should always start with who we are, not what we do. So if you can take a little time to self-reflect, really uncover who you are, maybe sum up your identity, your purpose in this life in a sentence or a word, lead with that rather than what you do. And I think at the end of the day, if we can lead with what makes us special and unique, that's what's going to open up the door to allow other people to get to know you, to differentiate you, and continue to build those relationships.
Yeah, I think that's a very important reminder, especially in today's day and age when we have just so much information piling on and just moving through the social media platforms, really all the platforms that are being created today. But you also mentioned a lot about relationship building, how there is a lot of give and take, how you have to be able to provide value to the person you're interacting with or the audience you're interacting with. I think a lot of that is also very prevalent in the high school and college experience. A lot of the Gen Z viewers and the activators are in high school and college. And I think that experience can be so vital to pursuing your career aspirations, building relationships, just progressing as an individual. So I'm curious to know some of your tips on truly making the most of your time during such experiences, because I think for a lot of students, it can be a very daunting experience as well.
Yeah, it definitely is daunting. And I think I'm lucky that my epiphany came during that period of time because otherwise I don't know where I would be today. So my biggest piece of advice is to go out of your way to break open your own echo chamber. Whether it's connecting with people on campus who you would have never interacted with before, or hopping onto apps like Clubhouse and just trying to build relationships and communities with people outside of your own silo. I think the more we can do this in our personal lives, even on social media, just leaving this conversation and following, I don't know, 5 to 10 accounts of people who have different perspectives than you, maybe someone who was just born in a different state. Like, let's all take those small actions to break open our echo chambers so that the collective starts to move society forward. And I think that's something we forget about. There's so much philosophy when I studied communications surrounding network theory and how birds of a feather really flock together. It's human nature to stick with people who are like us. But we're never going to advance as a society or solve the problems we see at hand if we just stay within those silos. We have to understand where other people come from, what they think, their lived experiences. And I think a combination of breaking that echo chamber matched with empathy is like the ultimate equation to go out there, to stand out, to find your own voice, to build relationships, and just forge a path forward.
Exactly. I think even though we may be comfortable in a specific situation, in a specific community, it's always important to just be open to new perspectives, ideas, and obviously just new people. There are so many individuals out there in the world today that have important stories, have important messages, and I think just taking the time to have a quick conversation with them and just understanding their mindset can be so important for progressing as an individual and also just having that relationship between each other. But wrapping
Yes.
up, obviously, The Conversationalist has been an amazing platform all about conversations, amplifying voices, and it deals with public speaking. And I mean, I absolutely love it. And as we're beginning to end this conversation, to all the students and individuals that are in Gen Z, what is your advice on finding their voice to have real conversations, be confident, and really just stand out wherever they are And I'm asking this specifically in the entrepreneurship field, as you deal a lot with that and really branching out conversations to individuals across the different sectors.
Neil, hitting us with the hard questions.
Have to, yeah.
I think this question is so important because it's something that, again, I wish I would have known when I was younger. I spent my whole life running around the Midwest feeling ashamed of who I was. And little did I know that the whole time that I was feeling voiceless, I had a voice. And I think it's important to recognize that on this path, whether you're an entrepreneur, a student, a speaker, an author, the quest of what you're looking for lies within you. And I know that sounds philosophical, but sometimes the things that make us different are the things that make us powerful. And I think we spend so much of our lives running away from that. But if we can just lean in to those things that maybe we're ashamed of or have caused us to feel like we don't have a voice, that will oftentimes illuminate a path that you didn't conceive before. And so I owe everything that I'm doing today to that little girl in Wichita who felt like she didn't fit in, because that feeling empowered me to go out and change that. And I think if we can identify that root cause, that fire within us, by doing some self-reflection, having the conversations with yourself at first, I think is the way to really stand out, speak up, show up for others, and figure out how you can use your voice for good.
And that concludes today's powerful conversation with the amazing Sophie Barron. While there was a lot to take away from this episode, the biggest thing you can take away from this conversation is to have that confidence to take the next step forward. Understand that there are ups and downs in life, but that shouldn't stop you from telling your story to the world, a skill super important for becoming an entrepreneur and growing your character, as we heard today. And if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to check out all our past episodes on all our platforms: Instagram, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Anchor. Do not forget to check out The Conversationalist and Time for Nine Toolkit as well, two amazing platforms creating shockwaves with their unique voices. And just continue to stay active on this journey of learning with us. This is XL Podcasts signing off.